This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 10th, 2008. The Dow tumbles, and so do the commodity markets. We'll talk about it today on Commodity Week.
Come on in.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Tom Fritz of EFG in Chicago. Our panelists today are Ellen Dearden of AgReview out of Morton, Illinois, Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, and Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Let's open today's discussion with this question. Brian Stark, was it New York and Wall Street that made the move lower, sharply lower, in the corn and the bean pit on Friday? Or was it the USDA crop production report?
Well, I think it's all directed with New York right now, Todd. The outside market influence has a greater impact than any fundamentals. They've taken a back seat for the last couple of months. Yes, the report was bearish, but I don't think it was bearish enough to be limit down in both commodities today, most to do with panic selling still in the stock market.
Ellen Dearden of AgReview.
I think it's pretty obvious that it's the outside market influence when you look at the Thursday overnight trade having been down as sharply as it was.
And Dan Zwicker.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's the outside market influences are the dominating force here, but they are also basically showing us what the fundamental picture is going to be in the future, too.
Let's go through the numbers as they finished up in Chicago this week. December wheat, a high of $6.33 1/4, a low at $5.57 3/4. The settlement price at $5.63 1/2, down 76 3/4 cents from the previous week. July wheat futures in Chicago for the soft red at $6.07 78 1/4 lower. December corn futures, a $4.48 top, a bottom at $4.07. Final trade for the week at 408 1/4, down 45 3/4 from the previous week. In December contract for 2009 at $4.56, finished 50 1/2 cents lower. November soybeans, $9.90 the top, the bottom at $9.10. Settlement price on that low at $9.10, down 82 cents for the week. In the November at $9.42, finished 87 1/2 cents lower. October live cattle from the CME Group's livestock side, the Mercantile Exchange, 94.65 the high, the low at 89.12 1/2. October live cattle settled down $6.47 1/2 cents at $89.12 1/2. The feeders at 95.45 were down 5.22 1/2. Lean hogs at $68 on the top, 65 on the bottom, and a settlement price at $66.42 1/2. Here are the rest of the numbers that are probably fairly important for the week. Crop production report out from USDA and the WASDE numbers as well. Crop production now pegged for corn, Dan Zwicker, at 12.2 billion. The average trade guess was just about 12.1, really close to what the USDA estimated in September. So we had a bit of an increase in the corn, and that came in the form of a yield bump from 152.3 to 154 bushels to the acre. On the soybean side, USDA now says we're going to raise a 2.983 billion bushel crop when we put it all away in the bin. Average guess was 292. Last time around in September, it was a 2934 crop. USDA lowered its yield to 39.5 bushels to the acre. That's right, there's a higher number for total bushels, but a lower yield on average, and an average last time around of 40 bushels to the acre. So they must have added acreage in someplace, didn't they, Dan?
Yeah, they picked up the harvested acreage number. And, you know, you know, this is a typical, I think, October crop report. There's always a surprise. I guess I maybe don't want to use the word always, but often surprises in an October report, and they can go either way. In this way, in this case, it went to the higher acreage and to the bearish side. But the big thing in the bean market's had two reports now in a row that's increased carryover inventory levels, at least on the books. And that is probably the big event that you saw in beans. The market has been kind of wanting to work 125 or 145 million bushel carryout. And now with the larger carry-in stocks and the larger production number that we're seeing here on the October report now bumps that carryover up into that 2.25, 2.30 level, and that's, and the market has to adjust to that. Now, when you look at the corn number, not a whole, it really wasn't outside the margin of error, really, but it was all part of, you know, a negative report and negative outside influences.
Since you mentioned them, Ellen Dearden, the WASD numbers were 1.154 billion bushel on the carryout for corn, 220 million on the soybeans. Both of those are bigger than the USDA estimate in September. Is that right? No, one of the corn number was actually smaller than the quarterly grain stocks number, but was bigger than the USDA September estimate. So did you agree with the numbers as they came out?
Probably doesn't matter if we agree with the numbers. It's the numbers that we get. I think the fact that we're scaling back demand on the corn side, we did not scale back. We actually increased feed use of corn. But primarily, we're just scaling back demand, and I think that's very reflective of the larger economic picture. So seeing this, you know, larger bean carry out and, you know, confirmation that we do have large crops from South America, I think that just opens us up to some more downside.
Brian, do you at the Andersons see the scale back in demand?
Not yet, but I think that it's on paper right now, the perception there. In fact, this week's exports were pretty good for corn and soybeans. So I really don't know exactly what our demand's going to be, and I think that's why the USDA adjusts it minorly over the course of time, because we're just entering the marketing year. So, yes, demand probably will be down historically, given today, you know, how we're feeling in the world with the recessionary-type talk, but who's to say that things can't change here down the road?
Ellen Dearden, as farmers look at commodity prices falling, they're not likely to make any position adjustments or moves or sales, I suppose. Should they be?
No, they're really not wanting to make any sales at this stage of the game. There's guys that I have called, I'd call them bonus bushels, having yields far above expectations that are getting a little bit worried about what to do with those bushels. And in the Puri area where I have my office, there's really a lot of bean harvest having been done, but not much corn. But the bean yields are at expectations or maybe a hair above expectations, but the early corn harvest is well above expectations.
Dan Zwicker, anything producers should be doing at this time?
Well, I think they need to you know, continue to evaluate their situation. Even though these markets may be less than what they were anticipating for, or they're maybe not as much as what they would like to have, they still have to evaluate their risk levels and what may or may not be happening in the distant financing situation, because the financing situation is changing, and they're going to have to continue to evaluate. I get a little nervous hearing that they're basically holding on to grain. They're not making any sales, just fulfilling contracts. I do know that this year's forward booking was much larger than normal, but the whole idea that they're holding on to unsold bushels is not necessarily bullish long term.
Let's proceed under the auspices that cash will be king, and not cash in terms of cash sales, but that in order to borrow any money, to buy anything, that they're not going to be able to borrow, that they're going to have cash earlier maybe than they have in the past. Are there adjustments then the producers need to be thinking about at this point when they're looking at maybe having to have cash for their production costs for next year as opposed to getting as much on their loans, or they're paying off fertilizer costs, or they've got to pay the seed bills up front earlier than usual? Do they need to make adjustments because of that?
Well, each, you know, it's hard to address any kind of blanket recommendation to anyone, but they do need to continuously monitor that. Let's put it that way. I know they're all busy right now at harvest, putting in some long hours, but they need to be rethinking maybe some of their strategies, reevaluating them. The current situation that we're seeing in the outside market and all the other forces worldwide, the chapter is still being written, or the book. I mean, we don't know how things are going to pan out yet. Each time is different. I know there's a lot of references back to history, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to repeat what has happened in the past. This is going to be a little different type of situation, and you just got to constantly monitor your position and how you want to play the cards that are being dealt to you.
Ellie?
When I talk to elevators, what they're telling me is that they've bought probably less than 50% of the crop. So in a lot of areas, I don't think the forward sales are all that strong. And a lot of those sales, too, were made in the sub-$5 range on corn and probably sub-$7 on the beans. So guys are needing to make sales or to evaluate their storage situations. I think they need to probably move ahead and make some bean sales in here. Beans haven't fallen as much percentage-wise as the corn. I think corn's going to be difficult to store on farm, however. So I think guys really need to look at both those situations.
I think from our point of view, we've noticed as the early receipts and from talking to producers that more space has been built in the past couple of years because of the high prices of grain, and I think that's going to limit the normal movement we see in the fall time frame. However, just going through some calculations to keep in perspective, like Dan was saying, instead of keeping all your eggs in one basket and holding a lot of your grain, hoping that the market is going to rebound, take in perspective 200 bushel corn times $4 cash, if you could still get that, your local elevator, that's $800 an acre revenue. People can still make money at those levels this year, so keep that in mind.
$800 on the table. Dan, does it mean if producers aren't moving, let's just stick with corn at the moment, if they're not moving corn, that February could be a very busy month at the grain elevator and potentially a very bad month while we're setting next year's crop insurance prices?
You don't know. The last 2 years have panned out real well for the February average. We've actually rallied. The market was looking at a growing demand base. The fact that we were trying to buy acres, so the February prices for 2 years running have been very strong. We saw a lot of participation in crop insurance program, so that allowed farmers to at least protect somewhat of a revenue base underneath them. This year might be the year that it doesn't do that. A lot of it depends upon how the world economy unfolds. If we are in a slowing demand picture, a recessionary type world economy, the market may not be aggressive on buying additional acres, so prices may struggle during the winter months. It's hard to tell, but it don't happen every year. The last 2 years we've had good prices. This might be the year that those prices may not be offered. Don't know yet, though.
Let's talk about soybeans just a bit, Ellen, and South American production. Given what's been happening with the value of the dollar, the value of the real, is it likely that they'll put more beans in the ground? Do we need to rally the soybean market in order for them to plant soybeans? How does this work out? I'm not sure, frankly, what to think about that situation, and hopefully you have some clarification.
I think Brazil's in the situation where there's real difficulty getting financing to put a crop in the ground, and there may be acres that go unplanted. Argentina looks like they've got rain prospects for this week. Financing situation's a little bit better than that. And they may get rain this week, which is direly needed in order to get a crop up. So we may end up with a smaller increase than the last several years on soy acres in Brazil, or maybe actually a smaller planting than the last year in Brazil on beans, but larger acres in Argentina.
And then turn your attention, Brian, to a topic I'm not sure that you can actually talk about very much, but ethanol in particular. I want to come back to that just very quickly. Are ethanol producers, and maybe Dan, you can answer this too, are they efficient at these levels for both the price of ethanol, the price of corn? Is the efficiency okay? How are they handling all of this financial turmoil?
Well, I can say right now, the spot market's always been the best market. It's been that way the last year, based on the negative returns and the direct relationship of corn and oil. The lower oil goes, the lower corn goes. They move simultaneously together, it seems like, anymore, and it affects your projected returns. So it's tough. It really is. And I think time will tell if it's going to continue to pencil with where USDA has forecasted for our ethanol demand here next year.
It's a struggle for ethanol producers right in here, depending upon when their plant was built and what the cost of production is.
Thank you much. Now that finishes up the first half of our program for the 10th day of October, 2008. When we come back, we'll talk with Tom Fritz. He's with the EFG Group. You're listening to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Beautiful fall weather continued across Illinois this week, interrupted by our first rain of the month on Tuesday. Temperature departures varied quite a bit across the state this week, ranging from near normal in northeastern Illinois to 5 degrees above normal in southern Illinois. High temperatures in the upper 70s and low 80s early in the week fell back closer to normal levels following the passage of two cold fronts at midweek. Much of northern, eastern, and southern Illinois received a healthy dose of rain with the first cold front on Tuesday and Tuesday night. Rainfall amounts across northern and eastern Illinois were generally around an inch, but more than 3 inches fell in parts of southern Illinois, with 3.5 inches reported in Williamson County. In central and western Illinois, amounts were lighter, generally a quarter inch or less. A warming trend will occur this weekend and into Monday when a cold front will push through Illinois. That will likely be accompanied by some showers and perhaps a few thundershowers. High pressure will build in Tuesday and Wednesday, and with it, slightly cooler weather. A second weather system will bring the chance for another round of showers on Thursday and Friday, with the best chances for rain likely to be the central and southern portions of Illinois. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, October the 10th, 2008.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
I'm Todd Gleason. In studio with us today are Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois, Brian Stark of the Andersons right here in Champaign County, and Ellen Dearden of Ag Review from Morton, Illinois. On the phone line is Tom Fritz. He's with EFG in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Tom.
Good afternoon, Todd.
How is the disposition in Chicago this week?
Blue, black and blue. You know, it's not a good disposition. You know, everybody up here keeps waiting for, you know, okay, give me that last rally to sell.
And how long will they have to wait?
Oh, you know, right now I wouldn't be surprised to see our equity markets settle in a little bit, probably by the middle of next week. You know, we can get a bounce from there, but I think that's all it's going to be is just a bounce.
Are you of the feeling that corn and soybeans have a more upward momentum from here over the next year or downward momentum?
You put a gun to my head, I'm going to say it's going to be a downward momentum. It's my idea that demand is going to, you know, slip and slide here a little bit, especially in the export sector. Late last week, early this week, word started getting around that letters of credit for the international grain trade are hard to come by.
Tom, We hear a lot about hedge funds and that over in the equity market. How's the index fund trader holding up in Chicago?
He's not holding up very well. We've seen a fair amount of redemptions over the last few weeks. He's thrown in the towel, and I don't think he's coming back.
Does that mean you look for open interest to continue to decline in here?
I think we've seen the majority of our open interest declines already, but we're not going to see the appreciation that one would expect, you know, especially after our market gets liquidated in the fashion that we've seen here. So you could see a bump up in open interest here, but I think it's just going to be a bump. It's my idea that open interest is going to kind of flatline on us.
Not to put a gun to your head, Tom, but downward bias in price, I mean, are we going to keep free-falling forever? Just best guess, is there any support in the corner bean markets up there?
I don't see us free-falling forever. There's probably a little bit more downside. Not in the near term, probably not a lot more than what we've seen. In fact, synthetics tonight suggested corn was probably another 12 lower, beans another 35 lower. I'd like to say in the near term that's enough. We'll get some rally going into the fall. Everybody's aware cash movement hasn't been very good. You mentioned storage is more than ample out there. So I think, we could see some sort of retracement, but it's not going to have the vim and vigor that we've grown accustomed to over the last 2 years.
Tom, we've always talked about psychological levels, $4 on corn perhaps, $7, $6 on beans, those round numbers being meaningful. Is that out the window now?
No, I don't think so. Right now I could see corn prices, ultimately getting down to the 350, 3.25 level, and I would think that would be enough. You look at soybeans, probably $8 is enough there. So, it's my idea we're going back to more, prior to, 2007, 2008, we're going back to more normal prices.
Well, do we have to drop the price of, and obviously we are, but will the price of the input cost drop along with that?
I think they will.
And so does that mean that you're suggesting producers not plug in input costs yet for the coming year?
I would try to hold off as long as possible. I understand, the decisions have to be made, shortly after the first of the year. But right now, I have to think input costs are going to come down. Look at the price of natural gas. Look at the price of some of these fertilizer companies, what's happened there. These people can't just sit there and say, well, we're going to still command high prices. They're going to need revenue, I think they're going to have to lower their prices.
Well, how many of them are we going to lose in the process?
Yeah, that remains to be seen. It's like I hear out of South America. Everybody says, okay, they've got their own financial problems. We could cut back on acres down there. I don't think the producer in South America is going to cut back his acres that much. I don't think the producer in this country is going to cut back his acres that much. I think what he'll do is try to cut back on his inputs.
Tom, the one thing I've noticed that's kind of unusual, the last couple of years the index funds have come in the market basically because of the housing issue and the equities being a nervous, and commodities were soon to be a more of a safe haven. But it's a little different this time around because the demand function seems to be deflationary, whereas when we're looking at adding more debt to the economy, an inflationary type of move where it would favor commodities. So what's the kind of different feel now that you get a sense of with that aspect down there?
It's my idea, that the prices we saw earlier this year, hedge funds had a lot to do with that. Index funds, the investors there, they were looking for spots, for their money. Number one, hedge funds, they borrowed a lot of money to do their, to do their investing. That money's not there to be had anymore. Plus, we've lost, 45% of our hedge funds. They've closed their doors. Index fund traders, they've taken a beating this year, or I should say in the last few months. I don't think they're going to be so quick to come back. You can ask the question, well, where are they going to go with their money? They don't have as much money as they used to.
We'll probably end up with some kind of new instruments out there. I mean, there's a lot of ingenuity, a lot of creativity among people who manage money. So I think we got to be looking for something new there, too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Well, you paint an awfully bleak picture. Are there any bright spots?
Not really. You know, it's the, like I said, the market's not going to go down forever. You know, we're going to have our rallies. I just think we're going to go back to, let's call it pre-2007 type trading.
So for your producer clients, what would you be telling them to do here over the next couple of weeks?
If they don't have any coverage on, I'm not a big advocate of selling futures in the hole here. I'd probably look at some type of, put option strategy, you know, just to get some sort of coverage on. But I would also tell them, you know, I'm a big fan of, harvest lows. You know, we're going to rally into the first of the, we'll rally late in the year, shortly after the first of the year. And I've been telling them that, these are going to be opportunities for you to do your hedging.
How do they deal? And I don't know whether you've talked to other folks about this, but how do they deal with input costs that have to be put in place this fall, for instance, when they go to talk about cash rents and dealing with their landlords?
This is my opinion. I think cash rents will come down just because the price of the commodities have come down. And unfortunately, when they have to make their decision on their inputs, I think this is where they're going to have to bite the bullet, but they'll probably buy, the least they can get away with.
What's the other shoe yet to fall in the commodity markets? Is there one? Do you think there's one?
Probably in the precious metal sector. You know, I think we've probably done the majority of what we're going to do in the grain sector. The gold market was the last bastion. Your safe haven against all this economic turmoil, and you saw what the gold market did today. They finally gave up the ship.
What would you like the dollar to do?
I think the dollar is, in the short term, is ready for a break. Economics 101, the government's printing all this money. Are they going to, you saw them ease interest rates earlier this week. To me, that just doesn't make any sense. You've got all this new supply of money out there to try to shore up, the credits. And, to make a long story short, I think the dollar has to soften.
Below 70?
No, I think that's probably a floor for us right now.
All right. Thanks much, Tom. Tom Fritz is with EFG in Chicago. Time now for a final word from our panelist in studio, Dan Zwicker.
I would tell everybody just stay calm, be safe, continue to stay focused on harvesting your crop. And from a seasonal point of view, it's natural to be bearish right in this time frame in here. I do think that even though there's a lot of noise going on in outside markets, that we will have an opportunity to sell some price strength later this year.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. Ellen Dearden is with AgriView from Morton, Illinois.
We still see lenders in the country with money to lend and don't seem to have a huge liquidity problem like we're hearing about in some other areas. So I would suggest that you get together with your local lender.
And Brian Stark is with the Andersons out of Champaign County.
Given the acreage reallocations in the last two reports, I would expect to see more revisions before we see the final numbers here down in the road in January.
Our thanks to our panelists in studio and to Tom Fritz. That's been this October the 10th edition of Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason.